Track 6. Welcome to another session at the Sports Desk. This is Brian Gall with news of what's been happening over the last few days, both locally and further afield. You can't get much further afield than Australia, where England's torture by exposure to competent cricketers came to a merciful end on Monday when they were put out of their misery as the host country won the fifth and final test match by an innings and 123 runs. You can't get a much more comprehensive defeat than that. The touring side's been a disaster from the start. Virtually none of the players emerge with any credit. I almost wonder if Ben Stokes engineered his fracas outside a Cardiff nightclub last September, leading to about the most prolonged police investigation I can remember, to avoid being associated with the touring party. The Australian bowlers were quicker and more accurate than ours, their batsmen calm and organised compared to several headless chicken performances by ours, and it was really only thanks to a rain-interrupted fourth test match that England were not whitewashed 5-0 in the series. Some of the players, plus a few others flown in, still have to endure some one-day and 2020 matches before returning home, but really, the tour can't end quickly enough. Having got that off my chest, time to take a look at the local news. I was at Stourton Park on Saturday, where the Stourbridge rugby team began 2018 with a fixture against Sheffield. The visitors are from the lower depths of League Two North, but they denied their league standing in the opening half, took advantage of some fairly slack play by their hosts, and gave as good as they got. The first half was quite entertaining, if you were a neutral who didn't care about the outcome. Each Stourbridge score was matched by one from the visitors, and the half-time scoreboard read Stourbridge 22, Sheffield 17. Stour had already achieved their four-try bonus point by that stage, but there had been little between the teams. I think a few words from management must have been issued during the interval. Thereafter, the home side were much more clinical in their tackling. They seemed to have sorted out their line-out, which had been a bit of a disaster area earlier. They made better use of their scrum dominance and defended well when needed. That resulted in three unanswered tries for the home side, who blanked the opposition entirely during the second half, the match ending in a 41 points to 17 victory. Thanks to results elsewhere, they also moved up from fourth place in the league table to third, and this coming weekend face another home tie, also against one of the league's strugglers, Wharfedale. It was a doubleheader at Stourton Park as the Lions, the amateur side who share the facilities, kicked off earlier against Lutterworth and won by 38 points to 24. One of the beauties of the all-weather pitch recently installed at the ground is that fixtures can follow one another on the same day, bringing in more spectators. Indeed, you could make a day of it if you wanted to. Across town on Saturday, Glass Boys, the Stourbridge soccer team, were also in action, but they were unable to repeat their performances over the New Year weekend when they'd won their two league fixtures 5-0 and 4-0. This time, against Michelover Sports, they had taken a first-half lead, thanks to a goal from Tom Tonks, and probably thought the 3 points were safe, only for the visitors to force an equaliser in the 90th minute. I've not yet seen a report on this match and do not know whether there was justice in that last-minute equaliser by the visitors or not. Stourbridge don't have a midweek fixture this week, which is probably just as well as they prepare for Saturday's visit to Billericay Town in the second round of the FA Trophy competition. This competition is the equivalent of the FA Cup for teams in the sixth layer of English soccer and below. Stourbridge currently play in the seventh level, as do their opponents on Saturday. But in the same division as Stourbridge, it's a bit worrying to see Hales Owen Town struggling just 3 places off the bottom of the league table. They lost 3-1 at home to Grantham on Saturday, and the ghost of relegation is hovering. Talk of cup competitions a moment ago brings me to last Saturday's third round of the FA Cup, the Premier Cup competition in England and the oldest such competition in the world. The third round is the stage at which clubs from the Premier League and Championship join the fray and is supposed to be the most romantic occasion in the soccer calendar, the day when the little semi-professional sides from the Toy Town League have their say in the sun against the Manchester Uniteds. Unfortunately, romance was largely absent this year as not a single club from outside the top four divisions had survived this far. But there were a few big scalps nonetheless. Newport County from League Two defeated Leeds United from the Championship. Coventry City from the same division disposed of Stoke City and were the final straw that saw Stoke's manager Mark Hughes sacked on Saturday evening after the game. Notts Forest defeated the mighty Arsenal 4-2, no less, while Villa managed to lose 3-1 at home to League One Peterborough. Blues, Birmingham City, just overcame Burton Albion 1-0, but Wolves will have to replay. They held Premier League Swansea to a goalless draw at Molineux on Saturday. Monday evening's draw for the fourth round did no favours to local West Midlands teams. All have been drawn away from home. Albion face a tough task with a visit to Liverpool. Birmingham City also travel to meet a Premier League opponent, Huddersfield, while if Wolves survive their replay against Swansea, they are due to visit the League Two side, Notts County. And those ties will be played over the last weekend in January. Now a spot of tennis news. I was saying last time that Australia is currently the centre of the tennis world, with the Australian Open Grand Slam event due to begin next week. In the various tournaments in the run-up to this, Kyle Edmund had reached the quarter-final in Brisbane, where he lost to Gregor Dimitrov, the Bulgarian. Edmund took the match to three sets, but he hurt his ankle in the final one and has withdrawn from a tournament in Auckland this week as a precaution, saying he is confident he'll be OK for the Open when it gets going in Melbourne. Joe Konta had actually retired in the same Brisbane tournament at the quarter-final stage last week and moved on to Sydney, an event which she won last year. Then she'd defeated Agnieszka Radwanska in the final, and the pair met again this time, but in the first round on this occasion. Radwanska had her revenge, winning in straight sets. Heather Watson is also in action down under, playing a tournament in Hobart, Tasmania, where she was the champion a few years ago, I remember. So far, she's won her first round match against the Romanian Sestea. No Andy Murray, of course. He's bowed to the inevitable and undergone surgery to try to correct his hip injury. We shan't see him on the tennis courts again for a few months, I expect. And I suppose many of our listeners follow American football, but it's regular Sunday evening television viewing for me during the season, which is rapidly approaching its climax. The season ends with the Super Bowl, which takes place on the first Sunday in February. And now, in early January, we're at the stage of the playoffs where each week the sides with the best records through this past season face each other, with the winners moving on to face another challenger the next week until only two are left for that grand finale. There are eight teams left at present. Four matches this coming weekend, the four winners of those in what are effectively the semi-finals the following week. Then they have a couple of weeks to prepare for the Super Bowl itself, which this year is scheduled for Minneapolis on February the 4th. Last year's winners, the New England Patriots, are again very much in contention and are probably the favourites once again this year. I've watched matches live at Wembley, but never one in the United States, but it's a sport I quite enjoy following, even from this distance. Anyway, that and the tennis are a couple of sporting highlights to look forward to, making up a little for the disappointment of the cricket. I'll be back with more sports news next time, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.